Well, good morning. It's a snowy morning. Kind of a hard morning to get here. For the first snow, it always seems to be harder to get going. But I am glad that each one of you are here.
Amen.
And I'm glad for the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters. We're going to be in Hebrews 13 today, moving on to the next chapter. Yeah, cruising. And I think we should just read what we're going to read here and then pray and get into what it is hopefully God has to say to us this morning. So Hebrews 13, verse 1 says, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are who you say you are, that you're the living God, Lord, that you're here right now. And we do, even though you're here, Lord, you're everywhere. We invite you into this time with us right now to speak to us, that you'd still our hearts and minds, and that we could be still and listen to what it is you have to say to each of us as your children, as those beloved of you. So we thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Thank you that you're here and that you're speaking. In Jesus' name, amen.
Could we pray? I just got a text from JoJo, and they're headed to the hospital. She's having a really bad headache and very hard about
moving. Yeah. If you couldn't hear that, JoJo, Maria's younger daughter, who's very pregnant right now, they're heading to the hospital because she has a high heart rate and a headache. And so let's love our brethren and pray. Lord, I thank you that you know the situation and you know what's going on. And pray for your peace for JoJo and Matthew. Pray that they could get there safely and quickly, and that you'd give the folks their wisdom to figure out what's going on and why. And Lord, we pray that baby would come in your time, your perfect timing, and that it would be a good, safe, easy labor and delivery for both JoJo and for. And we ask that in your name. We also pray for where those sirens are going, salvation in that situation as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let love of the brethren continue. It's always good to remember the context. Remember, we just were told at the end of chapter 12, the author said, "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." So he just told us to offer to God an acceptable service with gratitude and reverence and awe. And I think now, at least in my mind, how I see it, he's telling us how to do that. How do we offer God acceptable service? Well, the first thing he says is, let love of the brethren continue. Love of the brethren, I think we've all heard before, maybe not, but there are three words for love in the Bible in Greek. Eros, which is like erotic or sexual or intimate love. Then there's philadelphia, which is brotherly love. And then there's agape. This here is that brotherly love, philadelphia. Thinking about it, in our culture, we tend to make love a feeling, which sometimes it can be, right? You can feel affection towards somebody, but generally, how love, I think, is better expressed is not as a feeling, but as an action. And that's what brotherly love is, and I think what the author here is calling us to in this, let love of the brother continue, he's calling us to good works. And I think it's interesting, it says, let love of the brethren continue. It's for the brethren first. To those, to our fellow believers and Christians, we're supposed to show that love and do those good works to each other first. And then he says, let it continue, meaning that they've been doing it. So here he's encouraging them not to start for the first time, but to continue doing it and not to stop. And you see this exhortation a lot in the New Testament. Just a couple things. Paul says it in Galatians. Same thing. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. He says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Same exhortation that we just had at the beginning of Hebrews 13. But we also see he did this same exhortation a little bit earlier in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, he says, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And again, he makes the same exhortation, Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So he's telling them to love each other, to do good works to each other, to the brethren first. And that's a pretty broad command or statement, right? Love each other. Very broad. So I was thinking, like, well, how do we do that? And I feel like he answers that question, or starts to, in the next verse. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have been entertained angels without knowing it. One way we can show love, or one way to do a good work, is by showing hospitality to others. But specifically here, he says strangers, which, right, is somebody you don't know, right? That could be a believer. There's believers that we don't know. It could be an unbeliever. Or, like he says, it could be, if you may not know it, but that person could be an angel, which is wild to think about. To get more into what this looks like, I wanted to look at three examples. First, we're going to look at two good examples, which are Abraham and Lot. And then I want to look at a bad one, which is Simon the Pharisee. So let's turn to Genesis 18. Way left, all the way to the left in your Bible. First book, Genesis 18, starting in verse 1. I want to read through this story, or part of this story, quickly, and then we'll look at some observations about it. So Genesis 18, verse 1, about Abraham. Now the Lord appeared to him, that is Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. And when he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet. Then rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring you a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go on, since you have visited your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. Abraham also ran to the herd, took a tender and choice calf, and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. And he took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them. And he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. This is an example of hospitality. And as I was reading through it, the Lord was definitely speaking to me. The first thing I noticed was that in verse 1, Abraham was sitting at the tent door, and it was the heat of the day. So it was hot, and it was miserable, and it was not a good time, right? It wasn't the right time for this to be happening. This was a time to sit in the shade and relax, and this was Abraham's time. You know, he was having some Abraham time. It was inconvenient. A very inconvenient time for somebody to show up and for him to have to offer hospitality. And I was thinking, isn't that how it often goes, right? It's never convenient when someone shows up at your door and needs something. But again, an observation, I love what Abraham does. He doesn't get up and grumble. It says, Abraham ran to meet them. He made haste, and he was eager, really, which I was like, wow. He was eager to do this, even at an inconvenient time. But not only that, it says that he bowed himself. And then he called them my Lord. In this, he was humble, and he looked at himself and offered himself as a servant. And that's what his words say, right? In verse 3, he says, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. I thought it was even more surprising that he asked to entertain them. He could have, he didn't let them go by. He could have ignored them and just let them go by, which I think I'd be guilty of in that situation. I'd want to sit in the shade and relax. It was the heat of the day. They can find someone else to entertain them. But instead, Abraham, our example here, in the way he talks, you can see that he looked at it as a privilege to serve these guys. And remember, at this point, it says there were three men standing opposite him. He didn't know it was the Lord, and he didn't know it was angels. These were strangers. He didn't know who they were. I mean, what an attitude to have. I was thinking about, I don't know about you guys, maybe it's just me, but we tend to complain when we have to host our family or our friends, right? We can grumble about, oh, really? Come on. I've heard plenty of people grumble about hosting their friends and family. I know I'm not the only one. You might grumble about the work involved or the difficulty or the cost or the inconvenience at times. It's not every time, okay? And we do that with the ones we love. So, and even when we're planning it too, right? So what about strangers, those we don't know? And when it's unplanned? I was thinking, do I go out of my way to invite and entertain strangers that I don't know? Abraham did. And I was also thinking about that servant word, because I think that really starts to get to the heart of the idea of hospitality. Hospitality is service. It's serving those whom you invite or who show up. And you have to entertain. In verse 4, it says he washed, he said, let me, little water be brought to wash your feet. We'll get into that a little bit later. But that was just a custom of ancient hospitality. And he says that you may rest. He says, I'll bring you bread that you may refresh yourselves. You get the idea of what hospitality is about. It's about bringing comfort and rest and food and refreshment. To those you're entertaining. But you get that sense of the honor that it was for Abraham to entertain and be hospitable. I thought this was interesting too. So in verse 6, Abraham is going to get bread like he told them he would. But he does that by telling Sarah to make the bread. And I thought, well, isn't that just like a man to invite the guests and then make the wife do it all? And I'm definitely guilty of that, where the wife ends up getting the burden. So I want to say, I see you, ladies. And I know that happens, that a lot of times you guys end up getting the brunt of the work. And sometimes it can feel like a burden. But that's why I was thinking about that word that Abraham said, your servant. Hospitality is a service, and it's also a privilege. But it's also a command, right? In Hebrews 13:1, he says, do not neglect hospitality. Being a command, and thinking about that idea of burden, a scripture came to mind for me. It's in 1 John. And actually, as I was studying this week, there was a lot of scriptures that came up in 1 John. Because 1 John's all about love. And there's a big connection between hospitality and love. But 1 John 5:3, he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Hospitality is a command. Oftentimes it can feel burdensome. But if we love God, it should not be a burden. It's actually a blessing if our hearts are right in that service. Back in Genesis 18 with Abraham, he goes beyond what he told his guests he would do. He said, I'll bring you bread. But in Genesis 18:7, he goes beyond that, and he goes to the herd, and he chooses a tender and choice calf. And then he also gets curds and milk. And what I was seeing in that is that Abraham was extremely generous in his hospitality. And then in verse 8, that last verse of that portion we read, it says that he was standing by them as they ate. He was attentive to their need. He was at the ready to serve them in anything that they might need in that. Again, a scripture that came to mind, Psalm 123, verse 2. It's one of the Psalms of Ascent. And the psalmist says in Psalm 123, verse 2, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he shall be gracious to us. But that servants would look to the hand of their master. The master didn't have to do anything but just like barely move his finger, and they'd be right there, ready for whatever need that they might have. And I feel like that was the attitude of Abraham here, as of a servant standing by them as they ate. And I was thinking about this too. In my experience, there really is nothing like a really good host. Have you guys had that experience? When somebody who has like just the gift of hospitality has you, there's nothing like that to make you feel loved and also to show you the heart of God. Because that's the way God is. So we've got Abraham here as a good example of how to be hospitable. But looking at it too, I felt like there was a little bit more here. Because I was wondering, what would have happened if Abraham hadn't asked what he asked in verse 3, where he said, my lords, if now I have found favor in thy sight, please do not pass your servant by. What if he just let them pass by? Would the Lord and the angels have stopped? Because it was only after he asked that they stopped and consented. Would Sarah have received the blessing that the Lord gave her and Abraham? Because it was after Abraham offered that hospitality that the Lord inquired about Sarah. And I was wondering, would Abraham have experienced that fellowship and communion that he had with God in that story that follows, where he's talking with the Lord? And then it leads into would that intercession for Sodom and Gomorrah have happened if he hadn't asked them to stop? Because all of that happened after Abraham offered his hospitality. And given that, you could almost say that the blessing, the fellowship, the communion, that intercession, were all a result of Abraham's extreme hospitality. I mean, simply said, there is a really great blessing for us if we offer hospitality for others. And there's a lot that we can miss out on if we don't. So that was Abraham. If you just turn a chapter over, chapter 19, verses 1 through 3, we've got a little bit about Lot. Let's read that. Genesis 19, verse 1. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night. Wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, however, "No, but we shall spend the night in the square." Yet he urged them strongly. So they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Just like Abraham, Lot was hospitable to these men who he didn't know. If you read a little bit further in the account, he didn't know they were angels. He kept calling them men. And I don't know about you guys, but to me, is when I read this, the similarities between Abraham and Lot were immediately apparent. That Lot rose to meet them, and he bowed down. He said, "I'm your servant." He called them my lords. He said, "Spend the night. Wash your feet." And I thought this was significant because it was something slightly different. He urged them strongly to stay. He was convincing them to stay with him. We usually need to convince ourselves to have others over in the first place, right? Or then we subtly try and convince people to leave when we've had enough, you know? But he was convincing them to stay. And again, you see the generosity. It says that he prepared a feast and baked bread. Also, a little bit later in the story, Lot goes to pretty extreme lengths to try to protect these men. And we see that as part of hospitality, offering protection to those who are in our care, who we are entertaining. So there's some reinforcement of these principles of hospitality, and just like Abraham, there's a lot here that we can emulate in Lot. So those are the two good examples that I wanted to look at, Abraham and Lot and their hospitality. We have examples to follow, the things that they did, but we also see the result of it, the blessing that they both received. Lot was saved from destruction. Abraham got to experience blessing and communion and a deep relationship and intercession with the Lord. And on top of that, Abraham got to just be with the Lord. He got to entertain the Lord. And both of them got to entertain angels. But the last example I wanted to look at is Simon the Pharisee. And this is in Luke chapter 7. It's not immediately a story about hospitality, but you see these principles of hospitality in this story. So Simon the Pharisee, to set the scene, he had asked Jesus to come over and eat with him. And in Luke's account, it's an unnamed woman, just called a sinner, who comes when Jesus is there, and she's weeping at his feet, washing his feet with her tears and her hair. She's kissing his feet. She's pouring out this ointment on his feet. Simon's thinking, doesn't he know that this woman's a sinner? You know, what's he doing? And Jesus tells a parable about being forgiven much, loving much, being forgiven little, loving little. But what I wanted to read is here in Luke 7, verse 44. Because we get insight into Simon as a host. It says, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. So there was things that Jesus points out that Simon did not do. He did not give him water for his feet, which was to wash his feet. As I mentioned before, even back in Abraham's day and in Lot's day, that was a custom of ancient hospitality, because they would wear sandals and their feet would get dirty as they walked around. And it was a courtesy to help them clean off their feet. He didn't kiss them, similar to our gesture of a handshake or a hug. And he didn't anoint his head with oil. So there's similarities between Abraham's time, Lot's time, and Jesus' time. But the reason I wanted to look at this example was to point out the connection, obviously, what not to do. We don't want to treat others like Simon treated Jesus. But I wanted to look at this to point out the connection between love and hospitality. Simon didn't love Jesus, and therefore, he didn't serve him, and he didn't show him hospitality. But this woman, she loved Jesus intensely. And in that love, she showed Jesus the hospitality that Simon didn't. And it made me think, it's pretty clear in this example, that true hospitality comes from loving God. And that, from that love, that flows over to the love of others. Because we can love people really well when we're hospitable. It's a great way to love others. This woman really loved Christ, and she gave him her heart, and because of that, she also gave him her hospitality. She was hospitable to Christ in her love, which got me thinking, are we hospitable to Christ in our hearts, in that deep place inside of us? Is that a hospitable place for Christ? Beyond just having received him as Savior, believing that he died and rose again from the dead, confessing him as Lord with our lips, thinking of what Abraham and Lot did with their guests and showing hospitality. Remember, Abraham rose. Do we rise to meet Christ? Do we give him that honor? Abraham bowed. Do we bow ourselves to Christ inwardly? Do we greet him? Do we give him water for his feet and wash his feet? Do we serve him? Or how about that kiss or the anointing his head? You know, I was reading about hospitality in the Middle East. And one explanation about the service, what they said was that when you are showing hospitality to others in that culture, you make them lord of the house when they come over. And I thought that was a pretty good analogy in talking about making Jesus, or making our hearts or our inward man, a hospitable place for Christ. Have we made him lord of the house? Have you guys ever read that pamphlet, My Heart, Christ's Home? You know, I was thinking about that with this too, and hospitality, making him Lord of the house, giving Jesus rest, being generous to him, being attentive to him. All of these things that we're supposed to do in hospitality, do we do that like this woman did for Christ? In ourselves. Because this is where hospitality starts, by loving God, by being hospitable to Christ, It's only then that we can really be hospitable to others the way that he asks us to. And I was thinking about it too. God is good, and he doesn't ask us to do something he himself wouldn't do. I'm not going to go into these stories because it'll take too much time, but I was thinking about the prodigal son. Again, it's not the main point of the story, but what does the father do when the son comes home? He sees him in a distance. He rises up. He runs to meet him. He puts on him the robe. He kills the fatted calf. That's hospitality. And that's what the Father does for us. John 13, the last dinner, the supper. Jesus rises from the table, takes off his clothes, he girds himself with a towel, and he washes the disciples' feet. God doesn't ask us to do for others what he hasn't already done for us himself. Which again made me think of a verse from 1 John. We all know it. It's a very short one. It's 1 John 4:19. He says, "We love because he first loved us." That's where hospitality starts, is by knowing his love for us and being hospitable to him. So in Hebrews 13, our verses, "Let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." Talking about loving Christ and hospitality and loving others, I was thinking about that connection. Because he says, "Let love of the brethren continue." Well, what are we, the brethren? We're the body of Christ. So loving the brethren is loving his body. By loving the brethren, we're loving Christ. And by being hospitable to the body, we're being hospitable to Christ. And again, 1 John, John makes the connection between loving God and loving others, where he says in 1 John 4:20, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." So in thinking about this and these verses, "Let love of the brethren continue," I did want to put this out there. I felt like the Lord wanted it out there, that if any of us have an issue with a brother or sister in Christ, we need to get it resolved. You can't love God and hate your brother. And obviously, we talked about this further back when he said, "Pursue peace with all men." We're only able to do that as far as we are able. But we should make sure that we've done as much as we are able to be at peace with that person, that brother or sister. Because we're supposed to let love of the brethren continue. The other part of that, I felt like the Lord was saying, maybe a good way to resolve these issues, beyond dealing with that issue between you, once you've got that resolved, go beyond that and be hospitable to that brother or sister. Invite them over. Get to know them more. Because as we talked about, the body, your brothers, when you love them, you're loving Christ. And by being hospitable to each other, you're demonstrating your love for God and for Christ. But our verse says, beyond being hospitable to each other, it says, be hospitable to strangers. Our hospitality has to go beyond each other to those we don't know. And truly, that is the definition of hospitality. It's interesting here because the first verse, "Let love of the brethren continue," is Philadelphia. Second verse, "Hospitality," Philoxenia. It's love of strangers. So the command to neglect hospitality, it's not just for brothers, it's for strangers specifically. And it's not just in our homes. And this is what the Lord is really convicting me about this week. Because it is in our homes, definitely, right? Whether by happenstance someone shows up or we've invited people over. But what God was convicting me about is that our hospitality goes beyond our homes. It needs to go into our workplaces. And when we're out and about. And that's where I tend to struggle. I was thinking, question that God was asking me, do I treat others as an inconvenience and as a bother and as a burden at work or when I'm out and about, when somebody cuts me off or somebody else cuts me in line or when I'm in the middle of something at work and someone comes in and demands to have their situation be first place? Am I treating that or in my mind or in my heart thinking, man, what an inconvenience, what a bother, what a burden? Or do I treat them as an honored guest and serve them and love them and refresh them? Because we can do that wherever we are. We can be hospitable. And I was thinking about this too. As I kept saying hospitable, there was another word that kept coming to mind that kind of sounds similar, but it's the total opposite, which is hostile. And I think that's where most of our world is today. You know, when you're out and about, doesn't it just feel hostile sometimes? Not hospitable at all. And the love of many has grown cold, and it will continue to, which is why I feel like that these two small verses are extremely important for all of us to safeguard our own hearts against our love growing cold, and that we not be conformed to this world, that we not be hostile in return, but instead we be hospitable to others. And that starts with being hospitable to Christ in our hearts. And those of you who have known me for a while, you know I have a lot to learn about hospitality. Generally, just by nature, I'm a pretty shy and introverted person, but I can use that as an excuse. I'm also a sinner, and I'm selfish. And early on in me and Katie's marriage, I was just not even good at saying hi to people. Like, I wouldn't greet people. Tom had to work with me with that a lot. And then I grew up in a big family, so I grew to be pretty self-sufficient, just get stuff for myself. But in that, I didn't think to get things for other people. And it's just a struggle that I've had to learn, you know, and I'm still learning. And Katie can attest, I'm not very good at it. I'll get up and get olives for myself, and she's like, no, I didn't want any, thanks. I'm like, ah, forgot again, you know. And at work this week, having studied this and the Lord convicting me about it, I just failed pretty badly, you know. People coming in and feeling the inconvenience and the burden. And it just, hospitality is a really good exercise in loving others and being selfish. and something I know I can really work on. But looking at these examples, they're very practical in the significance of them. The rise, meet, bow, greet. You know, there's something to be said for that. When someone enters your house and you just sit there and you're like, oh, hey, you know, there's a certain familiarity maybe that comes from, but when you rise to get up and you go to meet them, how much more welcome you make them feel. The idea of bowing, you don't have to when somebody comes into your home, you know, but it's the attitude of heart, receiving that person, considering them better than yourselves, presenting yourself and being aware that I'm going to be this person's servant right now. I'm going to make this person Lord of my house. Whatever they need, I'm going to be at the ready. The kiss, the anointing, the oil, the food, the rest, the refreshment, the privilege, being generous, attentive. These are really practical things that we can do when we have others over. You might ask, well, washing their feet and kissing them and anointing their head, like, really? I mean, you could. I'm not sure how well it would be received. But the point is, like we talked about, people's feet get dirty. That was the point of them washing their feet back then. They'd get dirty feet walking around. We get dirty feet when we walk through this world, metaphorically. To offer others cleansing from that when you're being hospitable to them In the scripture, water is often a symbol for the word. In Ephesians, it says by washing of the water of the word with the bride. And a kiss, like I said. You don't have to kiss them. That's not really our culture, right? But there's a lot to be said in a handshake or an embrace, knowing the situation in that person. Because in that, you're offering peace, a bond, trust, acceptance. You're offering that person love. The oil, anointing somebody's head. Oil is a symbol of the Spirit. Being conscious and aware of inviting the Holy Spirit into those times of hospitality. And those things that Simon neglected to show Jesus, but that woman did show, out of a heart of love for Christ. What I saw is that in hospitality, it's a time to involve God, and it should be God-centered as Christians. So there's a lot of examples we could learn from, more that I didn't go over. The Good Samaritan, obviously, is a huge one. Showing hospitality to a stranger, the widow with Elijah. I'm sure there's others that I haven't thought of, but I think we've got plenty that we can imitate with Abraham and Lot. Just a couple of verses I wanted to read to end here. Matthew 25. Again, not the primary message, but can be done or applied in application of what we're talking about. Matthew 25, 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 9. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." Lord, it's not very complex or, revelatory message. It's very simple. You ask us to be hospitable to one another and to others, to love one another and others. And that starts by receiving you that way and then letting you work that out through us, Lord. But I pray, God, that you give us the application. There's somebody that you've been asking us to get stuff right between us, that love of the brethren might continue, that we do that, Lord. There's somebody you've been asking us to invite over, however inconvenient, let us do it, Lord. If there's a stranger, someone we don't know, Lord, help us to do that. And help us to be hospitable to everyone we meet, whether it's at our places of work, when we're out and about, because that's the way you treat us, Lord. And there's nothing like a good host, God. So help us to be good hosts to those we encounter and to love them like you love them. Enable us to do that, Lord. May we follow Abraham and Lot's example and that woman that gave everything to show you hospitality. In Jesus' name, amen.